Skype of Cthulhu presents a Call of Cthulhu campaign, Eternal Lies, by Will Hindmarch and Jeff Tidball, with Jeremy Keller.
Sure. I think Steve would love to do that.
Okay, hang on. That would require me looking at all the notes, not just the end. Okay.
Well, no. It's just the end that matters.
Yeah. So, okay. So last week, our main group of intrepid investigators gathered all our evidence, tipped off our trusty L.A. Detective friend, Detective Hoggins, and took everything else with us back to New York to speak to, what is her name? Our benefactor who set us on the case.
Janet Winston,
thank you. And we sat in that library in that big that she has out in the airport, I think, and went over all of our notes and looked at all our different leads, decided we could look at either Ethiopia, Mexico City, Malta, or Bangkok, and we decided our hottest and most convenient lead would be to follow up in Mexico City at where a group that had contact with the LA guy. Sorry, I'm forgetting that guy's name too.
Echevarria.
No, Echevarria was Echevarria and also Trammell, the guy that's after him. They had correspondence with both of them, and they're making some sort of eerie music on putting it on vinyl. And we had a sample of that, and it was very strange. And so after we came to the conclusion, we're going to go to Mexico City. I believe Detective Sullivan decided that this is the end of the line for her, but she'll kind of keep an eye on it. From kind of a high, high perspective if we need help, later on. And, we're looking to pick up perhaps a Latino singer or a Mexican singer once we get down there in Mexico City. And, then we cut back to Detective Hoggins in the situation room or whatever they call it in the police office, where he called in a few men he could trust.
At the diner.
Yeah, at the diner. We were at the diner. Okay. Yeah, he called in a few rookies who he knew were not corrupt and a few guys who were always in trouble, and took our evidence and went to go raid the Trammell residence. And when we got there, almost immediately the thugs started running and shooting, and we had kind of a big shootout and put a bunch of people in cuffs. And after we cleared the house, we determined everybody else must be down in the basement. So we cautiously went down the stairs, kicked in the door at the end of the hallway, and I believe it was Robert or Bob took a shotgun blast to the chest the second he stepped through. And we went in there, and Bill was able to subdue the guy with the shotgun, and then went on farther down the hall, followed closely by Detective Hoggins to make sure that the kid didn't get in too much trouble. And the rest of us kind of milling around the end of the hall, sorting out the shotgun guy and getting our act together. Meanwhile, at the end of the hall was the true horror. There was a full-blown orgy going in, and Trammell looked up and beckoned to the police officers and said, "Join us." And it wasn't just the people on the couch who were participating in the orgy, but up on the ceiling was a – what was it exactly? It had a huge gaping maw and a long, disgusting black tongue that was licking and touching people, and it was dripping saliva onto them. And it blue, shining liquid was flowing through a canal and going into a pool.
That's correct.
Yeah, very, very disgusting. And yeah. Bill took one look at it and the rookie. He was a little bit more than the rookie had bargained for, and he took off down the hall. Meanwhile, the tongue grabbed Detective Hoggins, who showed his cool demeanor and shot it off. So I believe that's where we are. Detective Hoggins is probably gathering himself up from the floor and taking that giant tongue off his body, and the rest of us are seeing Bill run screaming towards us.
Yes, and the one last detail is you all heard this horrible, horrible scream like an animal in pain, like a trick that, you know, pretty much it's just to listen to this is worth the sanity roll.
That's how you get started right there.
Yes.
Ooh. Well, maybe Hoggins is finally failing a sand roll based on, I guess he failed some other ones, on the pain he himself has caused.
Mm-hmm. So failure is 1d3 and just 1 point if you pass.
That's two.
One for me.
Okay. So let's go back to let's go in order here. Bob, you're there lying on the ground. You just been shot.
Right. I think I was so I stand up and holding the bandages that someone applied to me in one hand and the shotgun in the other hand. So he just ran past me up the stairs. Is that?
Yes. At this point, you don't see him.
What the hell? I move towards the door.
Okay. So you're going to move slowly. So let's go to the next one. Detective Hoggins, you just shut the tongue of that creature on the ceiling. But in Trammell is not very happy about that. You can see him screaming at you, still with a very strong erection. He moves towards one of the corners of the room.
I think that despite all of my training, I'm going to shoot him.
Okay.
I think that, that I'm not, this is a little much here. I'm going to shoot at him with my six shot until I can do so no more. Is he point blank with me or no?
Oh, he's less than 20 meters away from you, so.
Okay. So that is one success, and then even, that's a success, and with a penalty die, that is a failure. So that is two successes for 12 points of damage, and I'm sort of pushing backwards towards the door. Stay out of here, men! Stay out! I don't know what's going on here. And I'm trying to back up towards the door there.
You see Trammell falling to the ground. He doesn't seem to be moving. The people on the couch, there are at least four women and probably five other men of different ages. And they're all kind of ignoring you completely, like, it's like they haven't noticed you at all.
Wow.
They continue.
Do I recognize any of them? Either from photographs or so I've seen the photographs that Sullivan showed me, and I've seen, and obviously if they're famous people, I might know them.
Yes. Okay. So no, you. None of them appear in the pictures that someone showed you before, and you don't recognize anyone right now. Like, make a spot hidden roll since you're there standing on the door.
19 is a hard success.
Okay, let's save that.
Yeah.
Let's go with Diaz. Where are you doing? Jorge.
Diaz is still out in the hallway. Rather proud of himself for having arrested, you know, having secured a couple of the people upstairs. Completely confused as to what is going on inside the room. But Detective Hoggins has told him to stay out, so he's just staying out in the hallway waiting for new orders.
Okay. Enoch?
I don't think he's going to be able to resist the chance at action there when he hears the lieutenant blazing away with his pistol. So I think old Enoch is going to get up off the guy who shot the shotgun and head on out there. Detective! Run after him.
Okay. Are you entering the room then?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm afraid so.
make a spot because it's too much to handle at once. So let's see how good is it for you to...
How much I get. Thank
you. Yeah, get a hold of what is happening.
Okay, so that's 27. That's going to be just a normal success.
Normal success? Okay, yeah. You do see this monstrosity on the ceiling that I have described before.
Ah, I was hoping I missed that part.
Thousand of teeth, and it's dripping from a wounded tongue. You know, it has only a chunk. It's screaming, still in pain, like a wounded animal. You do see there's a canal that is going in the room and goes into a final pool with this liquid slime, kind of bluish slime, that is obviously coming from the mouth as it salivates. And there's some people on one couch having some sex.
Ugh.
And make a sanity roll.
What the heck? Yeah, this is the one you want to make. 95 ain't gonna do it.
Yeah, no, it's not a 96. That's all right.
Yeah. So
okay. was a 1d20.
1d20. It's a big dice. Oh, good. Stayed in the 10th digit. It's 9.
Ooh, yeah. Make an idea roll.
Yeah. Let's see. Ot 6,
Let's make a 1d10.
One.
Okay, give me just 1 sec. Sorry. Okay. Let me go through the. Let me fetch the book with the sanity. Or someone has it around by any chance? With the sanity,
the phobias and so
phobias,
forth.
Temporary for one, for temporary for one.
Let's see if it comes up quickly here. Is it on the keeper screen?
Yeah, it is.
Yep.
It is.
Okay, so in that case,
make another 1d10 to see how much this is going to last. By the way,
bouts of madness. Is this bouts of madness? Real time, right?
Yes.
Amnesia. Investigator has no memory of events since they were last in a place of safety, lasting 1d10 rounds.
Okay. Oh,
okay. So it's 7 rounds.
7 rounds. Ooh. Very good. So you're just standing there right next to Hoggins. Hoggins, you see this happening. Yes, you as well. You can see Enoch rushing to the door. And Bob, you too. You see them rushing to the door and then standing there quietly.
Get these people out of here. Get these. Come on. And he's just standing there.
Okay, so let's go back to the top. What are you doing again, Ellie?
So I am yelling at Enoch, apparently ineffectively. So I'm just going to grab Enoch by the collar and pull him out of this room.
Okay.
And I'm going to look at Diaz and Waldron, right? Bob?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I kind of look at them, and I don't know what's going on in there, men, but something I've never seen before. I don't know if I know. Where's Bill? Where'd Bill go?
Okay, Huggins, just before you continue, the spot he enrolled from last round, mm-hmm. two of the women were being, attached to some shackles that are attached to the floor as well. They were wearing shackles.
It was happening while I was in there, or as I was leaving or whatever.
No, they were already
attached?
They were already attached to shackles, yes.
Okay.
Next to the couch.
Okay. Bob, can you go make sure Bill doesn't check up on Bill, if you would, wherever he went.
Right, boss. Slowly make my way up the stairs.
Okay.
Holding my side.
Diaz, help him.
You got it, detective. I'll run over to Officer Walden and support him, help him up. Let me help you there, sir.
See if I can knock Pepin out of his stupor.
If it helps Officer Waldron, I just made a 0-1 on a first aid roll.
Nice.
Okay. That's a 1d4.
Okay. One.
Hey, I did my part.
That's right. It's okay. I think somebody already tried to heal that wound anyway.
Yeah. Okay. So, what are you doing, Huggins?
So I think, yeah, I'm going to, I mean, it's, I think rounds are pretty short, so I'm going to spend some time talking Enoch and trying to get him back, you know, snapping my fingers in his face and shaking him a little bit and saying, come on, man, you gotta be back with us here. We got to get these people out of here.
Yeah.
I will spend 7 rounds doing that.
Enoch, you have no idea. Yeah. Okay. 7 rounds doing that. Yeah. Very good. So when you don't see, this point, you don't see Bill just yet. You haven't run into Bill just yet, but you see him kind of holding his head and going around in circles just outside the mansion, talking to himself. You inside the mansion, that's for Diaz and Bob. You kind of see in the distance doing that. And for Huggins and Enoch, you get back to your senses. Pretty much the last thing you remember was, being in the car, just about to assault the mansion.
Yeah, Lieutenant, what are we doing here? What happened?
Pepin, there's something in that room that, I don't know what it is, I don't know where it's from, but there's 5 people on a couch in there, and we got to get them out. I think the easiest thing. So are the women tied to the couch or are they shackled to the ground?
Shackled to the ground.
To the ground. Okay. So I'll sort of. So there's a couple women there that are shackled to the ground, and there's a bunch of people on a couch. I think we've got to go in, get the shackles off, and drag that couch out of there if we can. But it's a horror in there. It's a hellhole. You up for it?
You got it, Lieutenant. You got it. I don't know. I don't know if I got shot or knocked in the head or something, but I'm with you now. I'm good. I'm okay.
All right. Let's go. Follow me.
All right.
Keep your eyes low.
You got it.
I get a feeling it's going to be a repeat.
I'm a little nervous about that. But
if I'm not mistaken, you're just going to see the horror and that's it. Like, you are not going to take any other sanity blast because of that. Yep. You already lost sanity. So you enter the room, you see the creature on the ceiling. You're horrified, but you kind of get a hold of yourself.
So yeah, either by either with some kind of pry bar, or if necessary with the butt of my gun or whatever, or with maybe using Enoch's head.
I got a nightstick. I know that.
Oh, a nightstick. Perfect. Yes, yeah, so you can hopefully shatter the shackles, and then basically start carrying people out one by one.
Okay. Yeah.
If we have to.
So let's see. They're completely naked, as I described before. It is hard for you to get away from their frenzy as they are having sex. They're, you know, they are not on their own, clearly. They are very high. They do not recognize your, like when you talk to them, they do not respond to your commands or talk back to you or anything like that. They just continue with a smile, crazy smile on their faces. And you start pulling one by one. You see that they clearly haven't been eating well. They smell, they haven't showered, who knows in how long. You start removing them one by one, you know, with little effort, because they other than the wild sex, they seem to have not a lot of strength. You can see that it's like they, as I said, they're very weak in general sense. In a general sense, you see that their muscles are very dry. Some of them look with certain levels of how do you call it, dehydration.
Dehydration.
And when you are removing, finally, you know, open some space, you do see that this one of the women there that is shackled to the ground, she's an Asian woman, and you do notice that the shackles are corroding into her skin. And she's got an open bone on her leg, but it's like she hasn't noticed at all. She's just having, you know, continues to, you know, when you try to grab her, she tries to kiss you and goes for your pants.
Yeah,
I do have half of 70. at one of the times up, I'll see if we can use the house phone to call for some ambulances.
Okay, let's very quickly go back to the others. So what are you doing, Bob and Diaz?
I've gone up the stairs looking for... Sorry, who was it that ran up here?
Bill.
Bill, yeah. Bill, so Bradley. I guess we're in that room where we had a firefight last session. In six.
Yes.
And Officer Waldron is the senior officer at the moment, so I'm just taking lead from him.
Okay. These stairs go up, right?
Yes.
Is there any evidence the direction he went?
Oh, yes. He's outside. That's what I was saying. You see him outside of the mansion.
Okay.
Kind of going around in circles and, you know, holding his head and talking to himself and whatnot.
There he is, Officer Waldron.
Go get him. I'm gonna sit here on this couch.
You got it, sir.
Go catch him. Catch him.
I'm gonna help Officer Waldron down on the couch, and then I'm gonna go tackle him.
Okay. Very good. Let's see if Max is back by then. Let's go back to the to Hoggins and Enoch. So basically, when you finally remove everyone, you do notice that there's another small mouth in the couch, kind of the size of a pineapple, and. And, you know, it tries to spits at you when you are there. You can try to dodge when it spits at you.
Would you say it's like the couch is alive kind of thing? Or it's like some kind of little creature that happens to be stuck in the couch?
Let's put it like this. Let's say the couch, let's say it is Imagine that the couch is a leather couch, and the leather is kind of open in the middle, and from there you see a mouth with teeth. It's not like it is part of the couch. How can I put it? It is part of the couch because you don't see how, you know, when it talks and it opens the mouth, you don't see an end, you know, to the inside the mouth. But it's not like it is a living couch or anything like that, right? It's not moving its legs or anything like that. It's just the mouth.
Okay. I am going to have to burn 13 points of luck to make that a normal success. I kind of feel like I really need to dodge this.
So I got a normal. Yeah, I got a normal success on dodge.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, now the couch is clean, like all the others you have been able to pull out. What are you doing with the people, by the way? The music is still playing.
Is there an obvious source of where the music's playing from?
Yes, you can see it on the wall.
I'll knock it down or whatever, get it turned off. It's horrible.
Okay.
We were thinking that we would be basically drag the people out, handcuff them, carry them upstairs, basically probably in shifts. So first get them all out into the room without the blue slime and then take them up the stairs one at a time. Just carrying them, you know, ankles and wrists. And one of those trips up the stairs, get somebody to call the ambulance, a couple ambulances on the house phone.
Very good. Bob, make a listen roll.
Okay, Duke. Let's see here. Nope. Nowhere near.
Okay. Something bites you on the back.
Ah!
What is it?
I take damage.
Oh, he's upstairs.
Yes. One D two.
Okay. 1 point. So much for that.
Good thing you got first aid.
First aid, yeah. I leap up as quickly as I can and swing around on the couch, assuming that there's actually somebody behind me pointing my shotgun at it.
Yeah, there's no one behind you. Make a spot hidden roll quickly.
Okay.
As you turn around to see who's behind you.
Yeah, 94, I fail. I don't see anything. I'm looking over the top of the couch because there must be something behind the couch.
Yes, you start looking around. Diaz, as you are heading towards the towards Bill, you see a man rushing towards Bill and starts talking to him like trying to calm him down. Sir, are you okay? Are you okay, officer?
Do I recognize him? Do I know who this is?
No.
Okay. Then I will. Well, I presume my service revolver has never been holstered. You there! Stop! Hands up!
He reacts surprised when you scream at him. He raises both his hands. It's okay. I'm a gardener next door.
Get on the ground! Get on the ground! Running up to him.
Okay. He does as you're instructing.
Get your hands behind your back. I'll cuff him.
Okay.
And
I saw. I just wanted to help.
I look around and realize that Bill and I are the only ones out here. We'll have to sort that out later. And then I'm gonna grab a hold of Bill. What is Bill doing? Is he just?
He seemed to react to whoever this man was, whoever this man was, and he was kind of paying attention. He's now paying attention to you. Diaz, what was that, Diaz?
Bill, are you okay? We got to go back in. I don't think this is over. Officer Waldron's been shot, and Detective Hoggins, I don't know what he was dealing with. They were doing some nasty stuff down there.
Okay. All right. Let's go back.
We'll be back. You wait here. And I'll run back inside to Officer Waldron with Bill in tow.
You see Walden standing right next to a couch with his pistol out.
Officer Waldron, what is it? Is there someone else?
Something got me. I don't know what it was. It must have left the room. I don't feel so good.
I will look around wildly.
Make a spoken roll.
Nope.
Both of you, Bill and Bill can make this ball healing as well.
Oh, I can. Can I?
He's back.
Save us from the evil couch monster.
23 is a hard success.
Yeah. On the top of the couch, there is a very small mouth. With seems to be like a couple of fangs, and there's
just a mouth.
Just a mouth.
Like part of the couch, or is just
it is part of the
body mouth sitting on top of the couch?
No, it is part of the couch. It's kind of part of it, and it is not moving around or anything like that. And it is just saying, and tries to speak at you guys. But
I pull out my billy club and I smash it in its smart mouth.
Okay, yeah, you smash it to pieces and you start hearing like small, tiny screams. Sorry, as he dies.
Good work, Bill.
Make sanity rolls.
Just came out of
make sanity rolls.
Success.
I pass.
Yep, success.
Okay, just one more point. This is crazy.
What kind of madhouse is this?
All right, so let's go back to the bottom.
And Edwin, Randall. So we've only done one session with these guys so far, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so I just passed my 10%.
20% is the thing.
Oh,
now.
It's 20%. Ooh. Whew. Good.
Okay. Let's... All right, let's figure it out later. Let's go back to the people on the basement. Hoggins.
Yo.
Do you get everyone out? Yes. What's the plan?
You know, on one of those trips going back upstairs, maybe when he stopped to use the phone to call the ambulances, I'm going to grab look around for like a big flower vase or a big jar or something like that. I think we need to get some kind of detective. I think we need to get some kind of sample of that drug they were having down there.
Sure. Yeah, it's a good idea. I don't know if this house is going to survive tonight, but no. We got to get all the people out of here.
Absolutely.
Diaz and Bill, Bradley. There you are. Diaz, Bradley. The handcuffed people, get them in the paddy wagon. Then we're going to have to search this house and make sure it's empty. But the butler, the two maids, and the guards, I think one of the guards that's not dead, get all of them out into the paddy wagon. Make sure you double-check the handcuffs on them. Lock them to the sides of the wagon. We'll keep bringing people up from downstairs.
You got it, Sarge.
How are you doing there, Waldron? Waldron, you doing all right?
I think so. I think I'll make it.
Okay. Ambulance is on the way. We'll have them look at you first. Then we'll have them take care of these These druggies. I don't know what they're on, but they've been on it for a while. All right, we'll be back in a few minutes with the next batch.
I got someone outside, too. I don't know who it is, but...
All right, Diaz. Put them with the rest. We'll sort them out later. Good job.
Being a good Samaritan never pays off. All right, so you get everyone out, and you get the people in out from the mansion, and you get all the junkies. Where do you have them? Where do you have all of them, in the living room or somewhere else?
I think the junkies are still in the living room waiting for the ambulances. The other people are in the paddy wagon because we brought a
whatever
the truck thing is.
Yes.
And then, so I think while we're waiting for the ambulance, the next step is to search the house and see if there's any other people in it anywhere.
Very good. As you search the house, let's see if someone actually makes a critical spot hidden.
How's a 0-6? That's critical. Oh. Extreme. Not a 1.
Better than mine. 59.
Extreme, yes. Okay. Hoggins behind a very nice picture hanging on one of the walls. On one of the halls, there seems to be like a secret door. It's locked.
Enoch, look at this.
This place is full of surprises.
Yeah. Is it like a safe or like a... What floor are we on?
Yes. So it is not a safe... Right, but it's a small door, like the size of a safe, right? Just like maybe 30, let's say 40 inches tall.
Is there, I hate to do this, but I guess we've been in and out of there so often. Does Trammell's body have a key on it? or Walker? Either of those two. Oh, Trammell is naked.
Trammell is naked. Right? Walker, he was shot very bad, and you don't know. Yeah, when you check, he's still breathing, but he's completely out, and he's bleeding out right now. He's got some keys on his pocket.
I guess I don't know if we should first aid him. I'll first aid him if I can stabilize him.
Okay.
Don't waste your time, Lieutenant.
Okay, I got a 99. Oops.
Very good. So you want to try the keys?
Yep.
Yeah, one of them opens the small door. And there is like... yeah, now that you open it, you know, as I said, it was not a safe in the sense that it is, iron or anything like that. It's not metal. But when you open it, you see a lot of money there stacked and several. There are several other ledgers with money as well.
I guess, wow. Wow.
Around, make sure no one else is nearby when he's talking to, when he's about to say this.
Yeah. Like,
we got enough evidence between these ledgers, this money, and those samples I got to get these guys on drug racketeering. Say we take all that stuff out of this house and burn this house down to the ground.
Kind of what I was thinking. Do you happen to notice if there's a gas stove in the kitchen or anything else like that?
Well, I don't know.
There were an accident.
I was hoping take a little sniff of maybe one of those jars I have, see if it smells like it might be flammable or something. Something like.
I'll make a luck roll if that's what you guys want.
Right, I'm at 28, so what are you at? Roll it or?
I rolled 48. Oh, no, wait, no. If it's it's a party luck, then yeah, you'd have to do that. I'm not quite that lucky.
30 is damn close, but not quite a 28.
So now.
So that stuff's not going to.
All right, so I think, do I know if any of us have any sort of experience in the electrical profession? Any of you have electrical repair?
Let's have a look.
Any of you guys have?
Just the base. I don't have it.
Yeah, I've got base.
DS?
Yes, Leo? Bradley.
I'm not sure talking about.
Nothing.
Not
for me.
Well, it might be the extra, jerry can from the.
No,
the
we got garden. With a place like this with all these parties, bound to be a lot of booze down there. Maybe in all the hubbub, some of that booze got. You know, we can move it down there.
Oh, you know what there is. You know what there is. These sex orgies, they always use candles, and those candles are knocked over, and the house just burns down. It just happens sometimes. We barely made it out in time.
All that booze down there, those candles, yeah, it's a death trap.
All right, well, let's get the ledgers and the money out of here. So we've searched, right? We're sure there's no people in the house, except for the people in the living room.
Actually, this is free. There's a cellar in the mansion with a lot of wine.
Oh, okay. Oh, cool. Okay. Wine doesn't burn, but yum.
Hard alcohol. It's got hard alcohol.
And some whiskey.
Whiskey might burn. Yeah. Yeah. So some whiskey and candles. I think we can arrange something. So, yeah. So I think if possible, we will we'll find some blankets upstairs to cover up the naked people until the ambulance comes. And then I think once everyone's out of here, I think Enoch and I will go down into the basement and figure something out to start a little fire and watch it as it takes a little bit of the downstairs and then boogie on out.
All right. So that's what you guys do during the rest, you know, during the next couple of hours. And you're sitting outside getting people to the ambulances as the mansion starts to catch fire.
Shit. I guess we missed some candles in there. I don't know what happened.
Oh, yeah. Darn shame.
Diaz and Bradley, you two did a good job. That was nice. Pep and Waldron, knew I could count on you. Always good to have around. I'll be honest with you. I think this is probably my last raid. I think, I don't know what it was down there, but, that's something I never want to see again. Let's get out of here though. Let's get some sleep, get these guys locked up, talk to the judge in the morning.
As the flames rise, you hear someone, sir, sir. This is a mistake. I'm a gardener.
What's your name, kid?
He's not a kid. He's actually kind of his mid-50s.
Oh, he just has a high voice? Okay. What's your name?
Sorry.
Wrong question.
Brooker.
All right, let me ask you a different question.
Brooker, sir. I work on the mansion. That one you see over there, sir.
Yeah. What are you doing out at 2 a.m?
Oh, I heard the shots and I came out because I've seen this. And he looks around to the other people in the vibrant. These people, sir, they're bad people.
Yeah. Well, is your boss awake?
Oh, we can. I'm pretty sure they should be awake by now. Yes, probably wondering where I am at.
All right, let's go talk to him. You guys all set? I'll catch up.
Good, Lieutenant.
Come on, all right. Boys. He comes out with you and says, I knew they were up to something here. There's something I want to show you, officer. I reported to the police, but they never wanted to come.
I bet. What'd you see?
It's something very strange. It was like a small animal.
Oh, shit.
With teeth.
I double-checked that my shotgun's reloaded and that my pistol's fully loaded. And I say, all right, let's go.
Yes, sir. This way, sir. He walks you into, you know, goes very close to the garden next door and still has... are you still, you know, going to have him around with the cops?
No, I think he's... No, I think I'll take him off. Yeah, he seems like he's not running anywhere.
Okay. Yeah, they're clearly awake by now. But let me show you this before, officer. And he removes some dried plants from the back of the garden.
On the ground there. Yeah.
And you see a white stem with the form of a mouth in a endless scream.
Oh, I shoot it.
It is, you know, it shatters to pieces. Oh, yeah. I think it was dead already, sir. I think I killed it.
Wow.
But yeah. this kind of things, I don't know, when this gentleman, this Mr. Trammell, moved in. He appeared a few months after that. And I started noticing things, strange things going on in that mansion. And that's when I saw this thing. I went up to my room and gathered some holy water. And I powered into it, but it didn't do anything. So, you know, my mom, she was a very devoted woman. And she didn't marry after my father died, like when she was 23 or something. And she had this cross, and I throw the cross into the creature, and that's when it turned into stone.
Huh. That's crazy. That's weird. What happened to your cross?
Never found it, sir. It's got to be down there.
I wouldn't go messing around with that.
Oh, no. Look, it's in pieces now.
Here's my number. If you see anything more like this, you give me a call.
Yes, officer. I will for sure.
Let's go talk to your boss.
I talked to another officer many, many times. Someone called Wilson. He even came by one day. Yes, Winston is one of the guys that was on their payment from Trammell.
Yep. Yeah, I think Wilson, he doesn't work for us anymore. Which is not yet true, but hopefully will be.
Well, at least you got Trammell, sir. Good job, sir.
Thanks. Yeah, it would have been good to take him in, but world's probably a better place without him.
I will have to agree to that.
Listen, if anything ever comes up out of the ground there, I assume like fire trucks are going to show up at some point, but if anything ever comes up out of the ground there, you give me a call, all right? Don't tell anyone else. Just talk to me and we'll sort it out.
Very good, mister. He looks at the card. Mr. Hoggins, yes, I will. It's a pleasure. Thank you for taking care of this dangerous man.
All right. Go get some bed. Go to sleep, man.
He goes back to the mansion, waving at you as he enters.
Okay. So, yeah, I'll go back... I don't remember who I was sharing a car with, but whoever it was, I'll get in the car with them and take off.
Very good. So what do you guys plan to do? It's a team.
drink.
Heavily.
I don't know. I think it's sort of an interesting question, right? I think it depends on, I think one of the things we would definitely do would be report back to, Sullivan.
Yeah.
And obviously try to get the corrupt, officers cleared out. Probably.
Do we know if we can trust the DA?
Oh, Elim, yes. He is a good friend of yours, actually. You know that he is a guy that you can trust.
Okay.
So we can get the evidence and build a kind of a drug case to justify the raid.
Yeah, I mean, I think the people who are of the people that are alive, probably the only sort of obvious criminals are the thugs, you know, the low-level thugs that were hired by the as guards.
The street pushers. We got the street pushers out on the corners.
Yeah, but then there's all these, right, there's people we have to find, the street pushers and the whole network. So I suspect there's some weeks or months of setting up stings and trying to figure out the all that evidence and looking through the ledgers that we just picked out of the safe there.
Right.
And basically try to clean this riffraff out of the city and wait for some other drug group to come in.
wait for the next set of adventures to bring something interesting to us.
Exactly. So send word. What I was thinking is when he reports back to Sullivan and talks about the creatures and the mouths and stuff, I'm thinking that maybe also the strange creatures that were up at the Echevarria farm.
Site.
Yeah. And so we might go out there, you know, with a few crosses. someday at crosses, soon. Yeah. And see if we can see what's going on over there.
Okay. You eventually find the cat. That was reported by Sullivan. You managed to you know, definitely he doesn't look like a normal cat, and you throw a few crosses at the thing and doesn't do anything.
All right. Well, if it attacks us, it probably ends up getting shot.
Okay.
Do we hear any word from? From the guy, I didn't actually hear when you said his name, but the neighbor gardener.
Brooks.
Brooks. Okay.
Yeah, no, he hasn't called back or anything like that.
Okay.
This is pretty much the end of LA.
Good.
Yeah. So you guys get enough, you know, to get you out of trouble with the DA and, you know, to run down a few of the known dealers. And Saul Hoggins, you managed to stop the you and your team. You guys managed to stop the distribution of nectar in LA.
Awesome. Yeah, see if we can get these rookies some promotions.
Oh, yes, you are all Jesus.
Well, Jesus?
Yes. That too. That's what saved you, Bill.
Decorated?
You get decorated. Thank you. From the state. And you get a promotion, Hoggins. Since looks like the captain was also a corrupt guy.
Oh, nice.
And that's where we leave the police station in LA in good hands. And we'll have a few extra characters. People take good care of at the hospital. Doctors take good care of Bob. And with time, you get back to who you were before this night.
Just more war wounds.
That's right. Just another story to tell.
So we'll cut and we'll go back to Arkham. And, you know, as Sullivan hangs up the phone after talking to Hoggins. Hold on, we're getting some noise there on the background. Can someone mute whoever it is? We go back to Arkham and we get back to Sullivan as you hang up after talking to Hoggins, giving you a quick summary of what happened in the mansion.
Well, they did it. They got Trammell, they got Walker, and looks like they've got enough evidence to clean up at least this this particular mess.
Trammell was killed, you say?
They all lived.
Police.
Yeah, apparently Trammell was killed trying to flee, and Walker took a shot at one of the men, and well, he got his.
Well, good on Hoggins.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
seems
nice
like
to,
a respectable chap.
Nice to see it out of our shores. But, you're going to need some good luck, I'm sure, chasing this down in Mexico and everywhere else. But I'll be here for you.
I wish you the best, Miss Sullivan.
Thanks.
So everyone just gains
make sure
one...
Watch out for my wife, if you could, please.
Will do. Oh, you don't mean watch out for her. You mean watch out for her. All right. I gotcha.
Everyone can make a 1d10 of sanity points. Cora, you're back into the game.
Yes.
Just making sure that you were aware of that.
I've been listening intently.
Wow.
So one second, off, guys. I'll be right
rolled
back.
Off of the roll. 9, right on to the 1.
Oh. I forgot to make my singer, so I'm going to do some quick work here and try if I can make up a full singer real quick.
A whopping 1 sanity.
Hey, welcome to the Bad Luck Club, man.
Me too.
Oh,
wow. What a waste, because Sullivan got 8, and she's just going to sit on her butt for a while. Characters.
Does that mean we can roll ticks, too?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Oh, good. That's cool. Sullivan's only tick appears to be... Oh, no, track and spot hidden. Oh, and listen, there's a couple there. Track.
How much is it if you fail the roll?
10 plus 5? D10 plus 5?
D10 plus 5.
Oh, wait. That's the luck one.
No,
right,
that's
right.
Luck. It's a D10.
It's nothing.
Just D10.
It's nothing if you if you fail, it's a D10, right? If you fail in that sense, yeah. And uncheck. Where's that something special if you're... Is it 80 or 90 if your skill goes above? If there's something.
You gain extra sanity.
Extra sanity for being the best. I think it's 90.
I think it's 90. Okay, 90. Yeah. I just hit 85 on spot hidden. I got plus 10.
My psychology actually went up. Kind of makes sense.
Right. Right. Oh, I do have psychology checked.
I rolled 100. Wow.
That's...
So this is definitely the most upping of skills I've ever had for a character on one set of tick rolls, or perhaps in a life in the game. And yep, maybe she'll come back for some future episode. let's see here. 7th edition.
Oh, is Sullivan leaving?
Sullivan was going to stay in New York, and she had promised to find a Spanish speaking singer who was reliable and reasonably adventuresome to go with you all.
Huh.
Yeah, because she's got family. She's got her husband and kids, and she's looking after Elliot's wife. So she's got a job.
Sure.
She also agreed to work as a consultant and for the investigation.
Yeah, she's going
to
work coordination and support, whatever. So you can certainly send stuff back to her, and she might be able to, you know, send out something. Ah, here's musician. That's what we want.
So what you're saying is when somebody dies, we can just write a note and she'll have somebody else to come in.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's, or even just get seriously injured. Or if we need a specialty of some sort, perhaps. So, Call of Cthulhu pulp character sheet.
Okay. So, what are you doing, guys? Are you heading immediately towards Mexico? Should we get started in that part?
I think so.
Okay. So, I don't know if you want to go over the clues that you got from Mexico before you take the plane.
Wait, are we going to Mexico or Bolivia?
Mexico is the plan.
We should split the party.
Bolivia is a different, campaign.
Different scenario, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, so wait, where did that professor disappear then?
Who wants to go to Africa. Thailand?
Oh. So I will not do Carmen Miranda. What do we have for names here? I don't want to double up. Cora, Margaret, Alfred, Father Carl Minardis, Paul Utgo, Dorothy Astor. All right, so a nice Maria. Oh, yeah, I'm not hearing you. That's true. I'm going to go with Maria Sanchez because that's sort of like John Smith.
That's good.
She is... 24, and I'll figure out the details. I'm taking a musician, pre-built musician, and turning it pulp. So I'll get you the stuff as we need it. But she is,
any skills of why she was recommended by Sullivan for this dangerous mission?
Yeah, I think that she's one of those she was part of the ring that Sullivan broke up in New York. She was sort of she wasn't part of the ring, but she was like a daughter of one of the criminals, and so she picked up a lot of those sorts of skills, and she's mentally tough, and she managed to sort of throw off that life and focus on her music. And I think she may even be friends a little bit with Becky Sullivan, with Margaret's daughter. And but anyway, she's managed to make not a very good living, but a living for herself as a singer, and kept herself clean. But Sullivan knows that she's tough and that she's sort of up for anything, and that she is. Yeah, I think that's what brought her to mind, as someone who would be useful and someone who could use a break from the grind of the city, and who would be trustworthy.
Okay, Maria, so you're very happy to hear that Miss Sullivan is actually calling you into kind of a strange adventure. A little bit risky, but it's well paid. And maybe, you know, you will get some connections with some rich people out of this job, and maybe, you know, get your career going.
Absolutely.
All right, you get a plane, you get a flight to Arkham, and you get there with the rest of your new friends, where you are introduced to the team by Miss Sullivan, and maybe we can skip that part. And so you have to role play two of them. So yes, people, you're there with a new member of the group, Maria Sanchez.
Hola, Maria.
Hola. Buen dia. I'm very happy to meet you all.
Did Detective Sullivan tell you anything about our situation?
She said that you needed somebody to sing, to help get you into, to destroy some drug dealers.
I looked at the others. That's true.
She said it might be dangerous, but that it was important work. And I owe her. I owe her some. She has made my life what it is. She believed in me.
Good to have you on board, Ms. Sanchez.
Thank you. Thank you. It will be a good chance to spend some time out of New York.
Okay. Frank, at some point, comes and announces that the plane's ready to take you to Mexico. He already discussed some details so you can fly safely. Fly safely to the, you know, an airport nearby D.C.
Cool. Never been to D.C.
Very good.
Wait, did you say D.C. or the city? I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry, Mexico City, not D.C. Mexico City.
Oh, never.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very different. Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't sure why we were doing that, but it's all right.
All right. So yeah, after a while, you arrive to Mexico. The airport you arrive to seems to be a mix of military airport. You see some army planes here, but as well as you see some you know, standard lines, commercial lines lining up. And Cairns manages to you know, to get without any trouble. And he gets a hangar for the plane, and pretty much just like he was back in Savannah. And he says, Well, I have a spoken with someone that can get us a car, get us a hotel. So you just let me know if you want, how many nights do you think you're staying here? I can book for at least four of them, four nights, and maybe we can extend the stay.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. So, yes, you get a couple of cars to take you from the airport to the hotel in Mexico City. Mexico City in the 30s is very modern, still kind of, not at the level of other cities in Europe or the U.S., but it's quite modern. As you were flying in, you did notice that kind of in the center, you see this amount of civilization, and they go into, some roads, and over the distance you see other small towns, right? So it is kind of interconnecting a lot of small communities outside of this city. But the city is quite modern, and you find all the commodities that you'll find in the U.S. More humble environment, but that's what you run into as you're driving into the city. Anything special for the hotel where you want to stay?
I can't think of anything. I have some thoughts about how to proceed, but I don't think of anything specific for the hotel. Anybody else?
No, it's just very exciting. I'm excited to speak Spanish again.
Very good. You arrived to Esmeralda Hotel. That's where you're staying. Where you're all assigned. How many rooms do you guys think are going to have? Are you planning to go one room for each? Or
that's really up to the ladies. I'm pretty sure Father Menardis and I will be sharing a room.
I was kind of looking back at our...
I don't know how crazy his praying gets it before bedtime.
I was kind of looking at a roster, and I was thinking how to break this down. If we go to the recording place tomorrow with a singer, I was thinking maybe Edwin is the talent agent. Cora is his girlfriend or wife. Since I speak Spanish and I don't think you guys do, I could be an assistant. We of course have the singer and
I think Edwin's gonna play the talent, not the talent agent. Right. He's the singer.
Yeah, Maria Sanchez is the singer.
Cora does have a limited Spanish. You've already heard her listening in. Oh, that's right. She listened into those guys back at the house.
That's right. I'm sorry. For some reason, I thought I was the only one who had Spanish.
And Maria, of course, speaks Spanish.
Yes.
Yeah. Quite well.
Yeah.
Father, do you have any Spanish skills?
Don't I? No, I don't.
Okay.
Latin, Spanish.
Yeah.
So the father and I don't have Spanish, neither does Dr. Utko, correct?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
So is there some sort of 10 or 15% we can get for reading a, one of those phrase books on the way over on the plane?
Not really.
So at least we can go.
It's pretty generous.
where's the bathroom? How much is this?
I'll give you a 1d4 for every day that you stay here. How about that?
Sweet. That's better than nothing.
All right. So what's your plan, guys? You're staying at the Esmeralda Hotel. How many rooms do you want to book, gentlemen, ladies?
I get my own room.
Yes.
I'll get my own room as well then. And the others can bunk up.
Okay.
Well, what's the price compared to our per diem? Because I mean, I'm not going into pocket money.
It's all been on expenses so far. We haven't had to pay for anything.
Cool. Separate rooms for everyone.
Very good. You all get assigned different rooms.
Okay.
Lucky for you, you get all the same floor. So you all have rooms on the third floor of the hotel. So yeah, you get nice brochure at the hotel about Mexico City, telling you a little bit about how it was built. It was built on the site of the original Mexica, eventually Aztec city of Tenochtitlan, which was itself built on the site of Lake Texcoco. The location was chosen as the foundation of a new city after the Mexica beheld an omen. There, on an island in the lake, the Mexica saw an eagle with a snake in its mouth, perched atop a cactus. It was a sign foretold by the gods. Tenochtitlan was built literally on the lake, atop rafts and islands. Centuries later, the Spanish conquistadors spent more than a year attempting to capture the city for good. Finally, in 1521, under the leadership of Hernan Cortes, the Spanish succeeded. Under the Spanish rule, Tenochtitlan became Mexico City. And, after that, the colonial metropolis started to grow and the lake was all but destroyed. The Spanish invested some time building over all Aztec sites, the new city, full of Catholic churches and palaces and monuments. And outside of the colonial center, European influences gradually mingled with the traditional local styles, and they created a distinctive new communities, combining indigenous and colonial culture. It's now a mix. So that's what you get when you walk around the city. It's a mix of Spanish traditions and indigenous traditions. And that's what you get from the Mexican culture right now. All right, but luckily for you, the city is now very modern, and as I said, you have all the commodities you will have in any other city in the U.S. So what are you up to, guys? Where do you want to go from here?
Yes, what are we doing? What is our plan?
So I think maybe that – do we want to hold some people back when we go? Because we'll expose ourselves the minute we go into that the record store, which is our only lead, right? Do we want to keep some people from going there, or do we want to go there as if Maria has an entourage and we're all fulfilling some role?
I can
certainly play her bodyguard. I mean, I'll just nod and smile. You can speak to me in Spanish like I understand it. Just make sure whatever you're saying is believable, that I would just nod and say yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Maria, maybe you can spend some time, trying to teach these people some Spanish, since they're trying to make the effort.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I've decided that she was born in Puerto Rico, came to New York fairly young, but grew up bilingual in New York, but would not necessarily pass for a Mexican.
Yes, you will definitely not pass for a Mexican.
Exactly.
Well, that works out well with our non-Spanish speaking. We don't have to say she's from Mexico City if we go in there. You know, we can say she's from somewhere else with, I don't know, interests in Mexico City, and she came here to make a record. Yep. Right?
It would be exciting to make a record, yes.
Is that the tack we wanted to take, or is that the undercover thing, or do we want some other more forward or forthright approach?
And I'm assuming Father Mainardis is going to go see the bishop.
Oh, that's right. He'll probably see him right away.
So yeah, basically just the De La Luz records. This is the only thing I'm seeing in the notes.
Guess I could open the Trammell pages.
Looks like De La Luz records, JB is the name. Interested in producing a new album and getting back to Nectar production after that. Last letter dated 3 weeks ago, which was when we were doing Long Beach.
Do we know what JB stands for?
No, but in the parentheses there, it says hostility with Trammell in LA. JB wasn't delivering results. They were interested in producing a new album and getting back to Nectar production after that.
So basically we should find out who owns and runs Luz Discos.
We got a name, right? I thought we had a name.
De La Luz Records.
Something I learned back in the war. Maybe we can do a little research. Luz Records. To be some type of accounting or something. I don't know if they have public records of who owns what available. Well,
maybe we should go scout out where they are.
So it's a P.O. Yeah. box on the stationery.
Should be able to open up a phone book or something to find Luz Records.
Is there, Randall, is there a phone book in the hotel?
Well, you can call the operator if you want to.
Sure, I will do that. And in my halting Spanish, ask her about Deleuze Records and trying to get an address for it.
Okay. It doesn't register.
There's no number.
They don't have any records for it.
Perhaps the taxis.
What you do have is a P.O. box, right? P.O. box number that was printed on the back of one of the discs.
Yeah, it's all over the stationery.
Right.
P.O. box 1629.
Well, I could go stake out the post office.
What is DF to Mexico DF?
Federal District.
Okay.
Which is like the city center, right, Randall?
Yes.
Districto Federal.
Correcto.
Yeah, I mean, I could go early in the morning and just hang out and watch to see if I could find someone accessing the P.O. box. No objections? All right.
Go for it.
Cool. That's what I'll do then.
Going by yourself?
Another set of eyes. I don't mind coming, stretching my legs. Because I speak the language. Either me or Cora or Maria. One of the ladies should go with you.
It would be good to have someone that speaks Spanish there with the totally oblivious private detective.
Plus, I'm really good at spotting things. This is what we're doing, staking it out, right?
Yeah. All right. So, sure. You offer your assistance, I will gladly take it.
May I enjoy the city, or do you need me here at the hotel?
I don't know. We'll have to figure out. Huh?
Nice. I like how Maria is just already fucking off.
No, yeah, same thing. Yeah, you don't need it? Oh, okay, cool. I'm going to do my thing.
No, no, of course. Enjoy the city, my dear.
Excellent.
Is there a De La Luz? I guess before we go, since we struck out on the records, are there De La Luz entries for individuals listed in the city? How many?
Actually, you don't see anyone. No. Like, they, you know, you call the operator again and you try to look for De La Luz, and their name doesn't register here anyone on Mexico City.
I wonder if they live in one of the towns nearby, but Mexico City is the, large and modern. This is where the mail would go through. And that's why they have a post office as well, because they just come to the city to get the mail.
Actually, is the father going to the bishop?
I don't think the father is back yet.
Okay.
So the stationery, these letters were also from a number of years ago, right? Up to 10 years ago.
Their contact has been up to...
April 37 is the date on one of them.
Yes, it was from this year, the last letter that you found at Trammell's. So there's been a correspondence with Trammell and this JB for quite some time, but the last letter that you found is from this year.
Well, perhaps we could get someone to go to the post office and find out who this P.O. box is registered to.
I'll do that. Somebody wants to come with me? Doctor?
I was going to post up on the post office and stake it out to see if I could notice the person.
You could be there for days or weeks, though.
But that's generally not how people with a post office box work. Especially if they're shady. That's where everything goes. And so they're generally there every day.
This is some good PI knowledge right here.
What about some contacts in the music scene? Could we find out maybe they've hired, maybe some musicians would know something about this company?
Maybe someone goes with Maria and she could, say like she's visiting in town and she's a singer too. And just maybe see if, I've heard of this record company. They have their CDs back in the U.S.
Maybe. Who are you talking to that would be saying that?
Their CDs.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
Tapes, records.
Wait, is this... These are old-fashioned post... This is a postal box, right? It's not like... It's a box that's opened up to the public, right?
P.O. box, right.
So it's probably like a bank on a wall with a bunch of different boxes on it.
Exactly. So,
but you're saying it's got a lock on it.
He does.
That's what you're saying, is there's a lock on this box to keep people from getting in. Well, I feel like I should go to the post office now with the group that's going to the post office.
Oh, you're more than welcome to join, Miss King. Maybe you get a closer look while
you stand and look nearby. Yeah.
Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, we can always, with Go's idea and actually speak to someone at the post office if it's a couple days and there's no mail or anything like that.
Well, Udko could escort Maria to a club or two. She could talk to some singers or some musicians to try and find out something about this record company. And if anyone asks about Udko and his relationship with her, well, I mean, come on, she's just a lowly singer. How else is she going to come out to Mexico City than with her sugar daddy?
Aha.
He's a wealthy American doctor. Oh no, wait, don't play that up too much.
He doesn't look like a wealthy American doctor though.
It's because that it's cheap eccentric. Mustard.
Yeah.
It's not great
cheap mustard brand.
He might be wealthy, but he doesn't look like it.
Soon to be replaced with salsa.
Right. Take him shopping.
But, I mean, that's a possibility.
I'm willing to give it a try.
Pulp, guys. Come on, let's pulp it up.
Okay, so let's see. Cora is going to the post office with the detective, right?
Yep.
Mr. Elliot. Mr. Elliot, and also, you said you're going as well?
Miss Astor.
Astor?
Yeah.
Okay. So Miss Astor, Mr. Elliot, and Cora King are going to the post office while the doctor, Dr. Udko, and Maria start kind of going around the city.
Maria is noticeably saddened to miss this opportunity to go to the cathedral and see the bishop, but she will definitely do as requested and go with Udko to the nightclubs or the day clubs.
Okay, sounds good. We're gonna start with the team that is going to the post office.
Okay.
So what's your plan, guys?
So my plan is to go to the post office box itself. It's at a reasonable height and see what I might be able to do to it doesn't look like it's quite closed. Let me see if I can close it Jimmy, it opened a little bit maybe so I can close it fully for them.
Okay, perfect. So that's what Cora is going to do. What about Dorothy and Elliot?
I will be lookout number one.
Yeah, we can kind of pose as a couple or something.
We can stand on either side of her.
Or that.
Wow.
I mean,
I was thinking we
standing next to each other, like looking the same way if we're acting like we're together, and I think maybe covering both sides would be probably better.
No, you can kind of stand and, you know, act like you're having a conversation. And
in the annex of a post office.
I guess it depends on where the bank. Sometimes they're like down on a wall by themselves, you know?
pretty simple locks, I bet. I don't think it's going to take
it should be
for all
quick.
That long
yeah.
to
it's click not, it yeah. It should be quick. We've seen Miss King work before. I'm not worried that it'll take long.
We're spending too much time worrying about the details.
Do you want a locksmith roll, Randall?
Yes.
That's a 98.
You are unable to get it open quickly.
That sounds like someone needs to push their roll.
Hold on, guys. Sorry, I was muted. So
well, that doesn't count then. Okay, that's fine.
So the post office is a big art deco affair. You know, it's a new construction with shining stone and metal work. Meant to glorify the post office experience for big business clientele and our downtown notables. And that's the kind of people that you see around when you enter. Like everyone is look like business people and uptown kind of people going in and out. As you enter, I guess you can mingle. Make a great rating roll just to see if someone is not dressed for the part.
Credit rating, you say?
Credit rating?
Yes.
I'm going to burn some luck to pass that sucker.
Okay.
Oh, 09. That's going to be a pass.
Okay. Yeah, it is very crowded. You see a lot of people going in and out, and as it was previously described, you see walls of small boxes, right, for the peel.
And I also passed mine, Randall.
You're very good. So you go around, you start looking at the numbers on the different boxes. They have a guide. You know, this goes from this number up to this other one. And you eventually find the line for your PO box, the one you're currently looking for. 1629. You see it kind of in the middle. There's some people around. Cora, you want to try that lock again? I'll give you that because I wasn't paying attention. So,
I'm also happy to push the roll if you'd rather, Randall. I'm good on either.
Let's go with the push.
All right.
Yeah.
That's not a pass. That's an 81 out of 55.
So how do you push? Yeah.
You were trying to do it, and your things that you use to open it break, and you can see them there on the lock. You cannot pull them out. Someone comes to you, and you see one of the many post office clerks that are around the building comes towards you guys and says in Spanish, can I help you? At least understand.
While he's doing that, can I make a stealth roll to like look like I'm trying the box and instead of actually trying the box, try and locksmith it and open it, or remove remove her lock picks.
You're gonna try to remove the lock picks as they're talking to this clerk?
Yeah, I'm just gonna try and turn around and pull them out real quick. Like I'm opening it. If I can open it at the same time, that would be great, because then it looks like I have a key.
Let's see if you pass that stealth.
Stealth is an 18, which is... I will... I'll burn 5 luck to make that an extreme success on my stealth.
Very good. Now make a block. See if you can finish what Cora started.
44 is... I'll burn that down to a hard success.
So the it opens as the cleric approaches you, Cora, and Miss Astor. Can I help you?
Oh yes, I'm so glad you're here. I had sent a demo tape. Well, my sister sent a demo tape to Deleuze Records, and we haven't heard. And I thought maybe they hadn't received it, and we just couldn't find our way in. We couldn't know how to get in there to check it. And I know we should have checked, but my sister is so anxious about it. Oh, can you just see your way to letting us? We're just gonna go in and see if they've got the letter for my sister.
Are you the owners of the P.O. box, or do you just want me to open someone else's P.O. box? No, that is not possible.
But wait, has Elliot already opened the P.O. box?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm just distracting him. Well, it would be super nice if you could, though. I mean, they just haven't written back to us yet. And, if you could just run around and tell us how we can get in touch with the owners, that would be just as good. That would be great. I'm pouring on the charm here.
Okay. Elliot.
Yeah, and I'm going to basically just kind of, if I open it, grab the stuff, close it, and just make my way out quickly.
Okay, very good. So, let's say you were good enough with the stealth roll, you know, to do that quickly. You turn around, you grab the papers out of there, you close it, and you leave, Cora and Miss Astor behind. And the clerk says, come with us. Maybe, you know, there's something on the P.O. box owner, you know, so we can contact her or something like that. Maybe you can talk to her. Come with me. Just to Cora and Miss Astor.
That'd be lovely.
Oh, it's a she, is it now, Randall?
Hmm?
You keep saying her post office box.
Maybe I'm saying too much. I don't know. All right, so you go back to the office. You know, there's Lime, and he gets behind a desk and goes over some books and says, no, there's no, there's no contact in case of emergency or anything like that that I can provide you with, that I'm authorized to provide you with. So, no, unfortunately, you know, you will have to wait and see if she responds or he responds. The owner responds.
We really appreciate your time, don't we?
We absolutely do. Yes, thank you so much. You've been just a doll.
You're welcome. this conversation is all in Spanish, and then he kind of sits there at the desk doing some paperwork. As I presume you leave the post office building.
Yes.
You run into Mr. Elliot.
What did we get, Randall?
So you get a power bill for the Loose Records office.
Yes.
Do you have any do you have any accounting? Any of the three of you?
Well, we all have a little bit.
You can make a roll, see if someone passes.
All right.
Very little bit.
93.
Nope. Okay. 78.
28. What about you?
Nope.
Cora?
Nope.
You know, Miss for too much or? Not that bad.
Yeah, it's a lot more luck than I care to spend.
No, I'm not saying use luck, but I, you know, just to see if you can at least get some general information.
Was it better than a 78?
It was a 65 out of base.
Okay. So now, yeah. All right. You do notice that it has an address, 33 Morelos Avenue.
Perfect.
Also, you do find a postcard from Merida, Mexico. That's in the Yucatan Peninsula. It is sent by someone named Dominguez. Let me write it down here.
Dominguez?
Yes.
Easy.
And it simply reads, departing today for the site. We'll write again when back in Merida.
And what's the date of this compared to when we are getting it?
This is from a week ago.
Oh, so they haven't been in a week. At least. No. Well, I guess, no, the mail. So maybe this just arrived today or yesterday.
Did you say the postcard was from Merida as well?
Yes, from Merida.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Merida, Yucatan.
Right.
All right. Also, you get there seems to be a letter from someone named Samson Trammell.
Some stranger.
A ghost.
And when you open it, it reads, anticipating another update soon. What is our product? Where is the new record? Do tell. Hurry. Waiting. And the postmark on this letter is for at least 3 days before you actually arrive to LA.
Before we even arrived. I think this this post office box may be tapped out. I'm glad we didn't spend a lot of our time just waiting.
Well, I think the next stop is the address for the record office.
Okay, let's break here for now. Let's go with Dr. Utko and Maria. Maria.
So, Maria, I don't speak any Spanish, so I'm afraid you'll have to do most of the talking.
Very good. And what is our goal is to see if anyone we see has heard of De La Luz recording.
Yes, if we can get a contact, name, location, any kind of leads that might lead us to where they are or who's running them.
Very well. Perhaps we will go in and you will sit and have a drink and I will. It's awfully early, though. We'll see if anybody's around.
Okay, so where are you? Yeah. What's your plan, guys? Are you planning to hit, just a general club?
Maybe we go to the part of town where artists and musicians hang out, and start by having breakfast and talking to people. Figuring out where the hot night spots are, that kind of thing.
Okay. Let's do that.
Edwin, does that make sense?
Yeah, that seems good. Yeah, and I can imagine that I could basically what I will tell people is that my friend here has brought me down to make a record and that I'm hoping to, get a recording, and then when we get back home to New York it will be he said he will put it on the radio. I'm gonna sort of play someone who's a little bit too naive, but is trying to find a recording studio that's not too expensive, but where they do some quality work.
And I'll just nod a lot and tip my coffee cup in their general direction.
I'll also smile at him time to time and pat him on the knee.
Okay. Yeah, you talk to a few people on a couple of clubs, not clubs, more like cafes where you can go and, you know, meet other musicians. There's some people playing live in a few of them. And yeah, you talk around some people and no one has heard of La Luz Records.
Have they heard? Are there any other recording studios that they have heard of?
That oh, yes.
Can get some names and addresses of?
Yes.
This is obviously irrelevant because we have it. But I'm thinking that what we would do is then go to one of these recording studios and say, hey, you know, you guys all know each other. Maybe, do you guys know De La Luz Records? And after several hours of, you know, depressing, grinding work, we get back to the hotel and discover that we already have the answer.
Okay. You arrive at, you know, one of the, you can get an address for one of the records office for another recording company. And you get an appointment, I guess, if you want to do that, at the entrance.
Okay.
And you're talking to whoever is in charge. Seems to be one of the managers of the place. So are you a singer? Is that what it is?
Yes. I was told to find a studio by the name of De La Luz, but we could not find them here, so hopefully you can help us.
De La Luz?
Yes.
I it doesn't ring any bell, but it sounds...
Progressive religious music.
Religious music? Oh, yes.
Progressive religious music.
Okay. Let me see. Wait. I don't know. She calls one of the guys that is on the recording room. Have you heard of De La Luz Records? Some sort of religious music recording company, something like that? And he looks around the room and says, I knew a guy, yes. Why?
Mm-hmm. I was we were sent down to look for them. Apparently they have a recording of mine and I was supposed to, but I can't find them anywhere. I believe the studio. Oh, it's loading too slowly. There we go. They have their records have this sort of rainbow around the perimeter. Perhaps you know them, Luz Viscos.
No. Like I know a guy who I believe once played in a band. And if I, you know, I believe it was for De La Luz, but I'm not sure. You have to talk to the guy.
Sure. Yes. Anything you have would be wonderful. Thank you.
The guy's name is Javier Luna.
Javier Luna.
Yes. Yes, I have his phone number around here. Let me check. He pulls out a small notebook. He has on his. On the pocket on his shirt and starts browsing the pages. Oh, yeah, I got it here. He gives you a phone number.
Score. Nice. Huh.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You have to talk to the guy. I have no idea. I remember that he used to play or he recorded something for the Blues. I don't recall exactly. Yeah, but you have to talk to the guy.
What does he play? Señor Luna, what does he play or sing?
Oh, he plays the bass.
Okay. Yes, there was definitely some. He might have been on it. We don't have a record, right? They were wax cylinders. That was the issue. That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. Or they were reel-to-reel tapes, is what they were.
What you get is the pictures of the outside of the album.
The record.
The other exactly, records. Yep. Yes.
Yep. Yeah, so that's what I was describing to him. To see if he would recognize that at all. But.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. And I guess with this, we're good to stop for the day.
Sure.
Okay. Good work.
Yeah, good work, guys. You went pretty fast.
That's some strong detective right there.
Yes.
Nice.
Agree. Good job. All right, guys. I hope the Jim is back to stop the recording.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
All right. Good to know, Jim. All right, guys. Sounds right. Good. So,
see you
next week.
Good night.
Everyone take it easy.
Bye. Thanks.